Blog Talk Radio.
One year ago, I was touch and go. Time made me see now the mystery. Taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right, bring your darkness to the light. My heart sings every night, my love I bring to you.
All right. Welcome back to the Real Talk for Real People show. My name is Yamsouf Arif. I, along with Kachil of New York City, are happy to bring to you these study sessions that we get together. We try to break it down to its common denominator and find out to who, what, when, where, and how, as to how one must interact within the confines of that relationship. It's good to have you, everybody, back on the show. And thank you again for tuning in to the show. And the show is designed for simplification. It is not a hard, it's an open book test, and it's for simplification in order to get you to understand the fundamentals of the relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, who is involved and who should be involved. It is not a religion. It's a nation, a particular nation, that was chosen to be his ambassadors for the whole world to draw them unto him. Yes, it's true. It seems that we dropped the ball in that regard, but there are still many lessons to be told in these studies. How you can get close to him, how you can have a constructive and positive relationship with him, how you can learn to be obedient, humble, and follow commands, because we are very uncomely and a people that don't like to be obedient. We're uncomely. And what do I mean by uncomely? We're ugly. Not in the sense of the physical outlook, the outward appearance, but we're ugly inside. Our actions are ugly, because we don't know the Creator. I actually can't be nothing but ugly. Everywhere we go, nobody is beating the pathways to our doors because we're rather uncomely. Yes, we are. And because of that uncomeliness, we don't know how to treat one another. We don't know how to treat our women. Women don't know how to treat the men. And nobody knows how to treat the children. And we're totally confused about everything because we seem to want to follow every fad in this Western Hemisphere, instead of following the codification. That's science, that's codification left in order to, it simply said in the Psalms, the Most High steps are your pathway. That's your solution to treating one another. And also that would apply to different nations, strangers, aliens, as some of you may call them. Yes, you can get along with some nation that are trying to get along with you or trying to hold on to you. Nothing wrong with it. And some nations you just simply can't get along with. They hate you. They hate your guts. It's true. But before Cartier and I get started, you know I like to make comments on ongoing subject matters. South of the border, as they do when it comes to people that look remotely like me, and when they think the cameras ain't on them, they bring out the horses and the dogs and the whips. Just like they did for our Haitian brothers. I've never seen that happen. Maybe they do it, but I ain't never seen it happen. As soon as the Haitian people get here, oh, they got the horses out. Wild, wild west. Round them up, boys. Head them up. Move them out. I ain't never seen nothing like that. And I suspect you had neither. What'd that tell you? Well, Michael Jackson once sung a song about that. They don't really care about us or anybody that remotely looks like us. It's true. So make mention of our brothers and sisters south of the border, because if they ain't got the cameras on them, oh boy, they ready to round them up and whip them. Head them out. Move them out. Keep them doggies rolling. Roll high. Hey, y'all. Oh, it's true. That's the way they treat us, all of us, not just the Haitian brothers and sisters. When the camera's off of them, hands up, don't shoot. Don't shoot me. I just went and got me some iced tea and some Skittles, Mr. Zimmerman. Don't shoot me less than 7 seconds on police arrival, Tamar Rice. Don't lock me up. I just had a traffic ticket, Sandra Bland, where she died 3 days later. Oh, yes. When the cameras ain't on, ain't nothing new. It's true. And last but not least, they found the body of Miss Gabby. And Miss Gabby, she tried to save that fella. You know, a call came in about the abuse. And someone called into the white van, and this guy's slapping that girl. And he jumped, they jumped out the van, running up down the street, he hit her again, and then they jumped back in the van. But when the police pulled over, she had a battered woman syndrome. You know, they had been dating since they were teenagers in high school. And so she had battered woman syndrome. She took up a defensive action for him. Oh, no, Mr. Police, I hit him first, you know. Yeah, you know how it go. Being battered, a battered woman syndrome. Some battered women are like that. They think they don't understand. Just a little bit more loving. A little bit more support. He'll stop doing what he's doing. Y'all crazy as hell if you think that's the truth. You know what I told my daughters? And I tell any woman, Hebrew, Israelite or not, first time, last time. What do you mean by that, young Suf? First time a man put his hand on you, uncalled for? Well, for any reason for that matter. You ain't no animal. For all intents and purposes, relationship should be over with. Because what he told you by virtue of slapping you in the mouth and running up and down the street, slapping you upside the head, that he don't give a damn about you. He don't see you as another human being. He see you as an animal. And I can treat you any kind of way I want to treat you. And you better like it, oh my darling. And so, how did he thank Gabby for taking up for him? You know how he thanked Gabby? Like the most of them think, the abusers, he killed her. Probably strangled her to death. And where he at now? Mr. Tough Guy? Where Mr. Tough Guy at? He had now in some way. Probably jumped in with a bunch of alligators. Ain't no telling. But my thing is this. Why you had to jump in with a bunch of alligators now? Why you jump in with a bunch of alligators before you killed that woman? Before you put your hand on that woman? See, you can't save these people. Don't be trying to, and like Tina Turner said, what love got to do? What love got to do with it? Tell me you love him. Got two black eyes, look like raccoons. Lip big as two biscuits put together. Now, he don't understand. He understand he beat the brakes off you. And you fool to stay there. Tell me it's going to work out. Yeah, maybe when you looking pretty in a coffin, it'll work out just like Miss Gabby. Her body was exposed to the elements. I don't think she's going to look too pretty in a coffin. And he didn't give a damn about her body being exposed to the environment. This man a high-powered coward. Let me tell you women out there, Hebrew, Israelite or not, my philosophy, first time, last time, for all intents and purposes, he told you you ain't about nothing. He don't respect you as an equal. You ain't nothing but a dog to him. He'll kick you, slap you, want to have sex with you, and you better get it on. Because I love you, baby. And you sisters by there, something is wrong with y'all. Okay? Stop it. Again, my name is Yom Suf Arif. And this is the Real Talk for Real People Show. Let me bring my dear brother and friend on. You know, he had a loss in his family. He wasn't with us yesterday. Like I told him, it's gonna hit you. It's going to hit you. And sometimes you don't know when it's going to hit you. And it's a whammy. Okay, I know. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Bless y'all, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise, glory, and honor to the Most High Yah, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yisrael. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Suf Arif. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, brother. May the Most High bless you, especially in your family. For your loss, okay?
Okay, I appreciate that. And most I bless my sister, so.
Amen, brother. Anytime. You know, I had the privilege of speaking with her once, and I was looking forward to another opportunity to speak to her. And unfortunately, I wasn't afforded that opportunity, but I enjoyed talking to her when I did.
I remember introducing you to her.
Right. I enjoyed
like the conversation. Like a powerhouse.
Right. Huh? I enjoyed the conversation. She's highly intelligent. Yeah, she's highly intelligent. Yep.
Well, she made an impact on our people, and a lot of people are feeling it today, including me. But,
right.
We were born for this, man. It's our mission. Our family, Musa, you know, put his hand on us for a reason. And I just commit myself to the Most High as his servant so that we can get up out of the madness, the quagmire that we in as a people. So I'm here serving Yah. And my heart goes out to our Haitian brothers and sisters, to my horses, dogs, and whips, son. Woo-wee!
Mm-hmm.
My Lord. And
man, you're right.
It's 19,000 by their estimate, right?
Well, they said it was 12. They said they got rid of 4,000, basically shipping them back to Haiti with no infrastructure to really take care of them. They hadn't been there since 2010 when it first earthquake. A lot of them had migrated to South America, and they've been gone since about 2010, migrating and working in these Latin countries. And so they're sending them back to a country that has no physical infrastructure to be. They can't take care of themselves. So you make it matter. You're throwing these people right into the equation. They don't even know what's going on. And like I said, economically speaking, the country itself can't even take care of folks in it right now.
So the media, they frame it in a certain way, right? They
show
you massive people under a bridge.
Right.
19,000 people is... Madison Square Garden at capacity.
Right.
Or Yankee Stadium at half capacity.
Right.
19,000 Israelite Haitian brothers and sisters is only half the people in Yankee Stadium.
Exactly. Not very many.
They make it look like it's overwhelming numbers when you got like over 200,000 Afghan people coming this way.
Exactly. And here's the deal. Well, they try to put this boo game in there too. Is 30,000 more headed this way? Put how they know 30,000? They counting them all headed this way? Putting the boo game in there. You know how they do it.
Oh yeah, how they do it? Because if it was a brother that was Gabby's boyfriend.
No. It wasn't a brother.
It wasn't.
No,
they wouldn't let that nigga go.
No, he would have went hiking nowhere. He'd have been hiking in a local jail. Okay.
You came back without this girl, and you're not giving no answers. They would not let that brother go.
Man, they had 24/7 surveillance on that fellow. Okay.
So they treated
But Cartrell, fellow shooter, whatever. If Cartrell did it, if Cartrell went out of town with his wife and come back without his wife. And then Kadri had talking about, no, man, I ain't telling y'all nothing. I bet you one thing, they had 24-hour surveillance on Kadri. He couldn't even went out in the backyard. To look out in the backyard, somebody would have been on him. Okay?
Much less skip town and disappear.
You better believe it.
So we see this two standards in America, and they paid for it. This young lady lost her life.
Exactly.
Another episode for ID investigation. But our people, like you said, are uncomely. And it's only because we don't stand for anything, because we lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we fall for the fads, and we follow everything that's what is popular. But I bet you they ain't doing that milk crate challenge no more, brother.
What happened? What happened with that?
People's breaking their necks, I guess.
Yeah, breaking his legs and limbs and everything, man. I saw one of them big old fat dude. He had to weigh about 450 pounds. He got all the way up to the middle one. And, man, that thing was shaking like it was an earthquake. And it was just like Moby Dick, dashing blows. He came on down.
So because our enemies, our oppressors, the people we're trying to follow, lack morality, they lack integrity. They lack righteous judgment, and we follow them. we suffer as a result. They suffer as a result of their lack of morality. That's why they lost to the Taliban.
Hey, yeah, did you, I don't know whether or not Contrail and fellow students, that y'all got an opportunity. They were showing pictures of the base that was left, and they showed the military prison where they was housing the Afghans. It was horrible. It was horrible.
That's why the Afghans had to kick them out. It's like,
yeah.
Y'all bring it here? You brought war here. You're trying to bring pornography and LGBTQ and all other kind of corruption to our women and our young people. We're not having it.
Yeah, and I heard Joe Biden say that today at the UN. Tell me, y'all need to look out for the LGBTQ. Man, what the hell is she talking about? What is she talking about, man?
That's why they're weak.
Yeah.
Spiritually, even militarily.
Yeah.
And you know they're weak morally, so.
Well, I told you about that.
Or try to follow them.
America is the greatest exporter of it. Immorality around the universe, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And like the Pied Piper, you follow right behind him.
Right. I don't care if it's child pedophilia, whoredom, LGBTQ, XYZ, trying to get at you and me. Yeah, drugs. They are the greatest exporters, universally speaking, of this perverted behavior, okay?
And when I say drugs, I mean prescription, illicit drugs, and vaccination.
Oh, yeah.
It's all connected. It's all connected.
But Katya, if you look at some of those drugs that's supposed to be saving, then you might well accept what you got. We're called bloody stew, a heart population. And us, man, what the hell?
Thoughts of suicide. It might be too late to call a doctor. You got thoughts of suicide.
Hey, this medication for ingrown toenails.
And then you got to take other medications for the side effect for the ingrown toenail prescription that you're taking. Now you got to take a liver medication and a lung medication and a heart medication. And all of them got side effects, too, that's going to make you take more medication.
It'll kill you. It'll kill
you. Drug dealers, man. They better drug dealers than the brothers on the street, man.
Man, what you said, they getting paid, too.
Oh, yeah. Bro, big billion. Not chump change. Billion.
Yep.
And it's Pfizer.
All right.
Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson. All these same pharmaceuticals.
Hey, look here. They putting these shots out for free. The government paying for them shots for you to get taken, okay? The government are paying for those shots. Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, or whoever you call it, or whatever their name is.
Of course you need boosters. Of course you need boosters. Because they got to boost their bank account. And they need less people on the planet.
Right.
Matter of fact, my son came up with a statistic. They're saying that there's more people dying than people being born. At least in America.
Well, I can believe that. I can believe that. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, all right, Katya, it's good to have you back. Good to hear your voice. Fellow students, thank you, brother. And it's good to have you fellow students back with us. We'd like to thank our international students. We know you are very, you stick with this show much more than people nationally. And we're grateful for you. And trusting us to provide these studies for you in order to help you involve in your relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and with one another, and with strangers. Okay? So will you please do me a favor, fellow students? Will you please turn your maps, your books, however you want to call it, to chapter 6 of Ezra. Ezra, chapter 6. May the Most High bless us, and let his footstep be our pathway. Follow that, okay? Thereupon an order, King Darius. They searched the archives, where the treasures were stored in Babylon. But it was in the citadel of Ecbatana, in the province of Media, that a scroll was found which the following was written in memorandum. In the first year of King Cyrus, King Cyrus issued an order concerning the house of Yah in Jerusalem. Let the house be rebuilt, a place for offering sacrifices, with a base built of high. Let it be 60 cubits high and 60 cubits wide, with a course of unused timber for each three courses of hewn stones. The expenses shall be paid by the palace, and the gold and silver vessels of the house of Yah, which King Nebuchadnezzar had taken away from the temple in Jerusalem and transported to Babylon, shall be returned. Let each go back to the temple in Jerusalem where it belongs. You shall deposit it in the house of Yah. Now you, Tattaniah, governor of the province beyond the river, Shatha Barzinia, and colleagues, the officials of the province beyond the river, stay away from that place. Leave them folks alone. Don't be harassing them. Allow the work of the house of Yah to go on. Let the governor of the Yehudites and the elders of the Yehudites rebuild this house of Yah on his site. Leave them folks alone. And I hereby issue order concerning what must be done to help these elders of the Yehudites rebuild the house of Yah. Expenses are to be paid to these men with dispatch out of the resources of the king, derived from the taxes of the province beyond the river, from being taxed in that location, so that the work not be stopped. It will be continual. They are to be given daily without fail whatever they need of young bulls, rams, and lambs as a burnt offering for Yah of heaven, and wheat, salt, and wine, and oil at the order of the priest in Jerusalem, so that they may offer pleasing sacrifice to Yah of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his son. So they were looking for some beneficial out of this relationship. Although they didn't worship Yah, they knew about it, and they were looking to reap some benefits of having the temple being rebuilt and being acknowledged for having the temple being rebuilt, so they would be blessed by Yah and his sons. I also issue order that whoever alters this decree shall have a beam removed from his house, and he shall be impaled on it, and his house confiscated. May the Elohim who established his name there cause the downfall of any king or nation that undertakes to alter or damage the house of Yah in Jerusalem. I, King Darius, have issued the decree. Let it be carried out with that dispatch. Then Tattaniah, governor of the province beyond the river, Shetha-Bozenia, and their colleagues carried out with dispatch what King Darius had written. They left them alone, and they paid their taxes to them as was indicated and demanded by King Darius. So the elders of the Yehudites progressed in building, urged on by the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah, son of Iddo. Remember I told you yesterday, you would think these stories are linear. They're one after the other. But herein you see, you have three different storylines going at the same time. You have Haggai, the prophet. You have Zechariah, the prophet. And I think several additional prophets. Their stories was going along. The story wasn't just linear from Ezra's point of view. A whole lot of things was happening, and so it appears at the same time. But they were in full compliance and support of one another, in spite of as what was happening, and from the way their perspective, okay?
Don't forget Nehemiah and Jeremiah.
Yeah, Nehemiah. That's why I say it was additional some additional prophets. They brought the building to completion under the aegis of the Elohim of Israel by order of King Cyrus and Darius and King Artaxerxes of Persia. The house was finished on the third month of Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. The Israelites, the priests, and the Levites, and all the other exiles celebrated the dedication of the house of Yah with joy. They sacrificed for the dedication of this house of Yah 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, 12 goats, as a purification offering for all of Israel, for each tribe, according to the number of tribes of Israel. They appointed the priests in their course and the Levites in their division for the service of Yah in Jerusalem, according to the codification in the book of Mosaic. The returned exiles celebrate the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. The priests and Levites had purified themselves to a man. They were all pure. They slaughtered the Passover offering for all the returned exile, and from the border, and from their brother priests, and for themselves. The children of Israel, who had returned from exile together with all who had joined them and separated themselves from the uncleanness of the nations. You just can't get with Yah and keep doing what everybody else doing. You can't get with Yah and be beating on your wife and cheating on your husband. You can't get with Yah and be still part of the LGBTQ and sometimes trying to get at me and you. You can't be messing with little boys and little girls, okay? You can't be not taking care of your wives, supporting your wives, raising your children, leaving them an heritage. You got everything that you learned, everything you think you know. You got to put aside all that. You're going to find out further what I'm saying. You think I'm lying? You're going to find out what I'm talking about. See, you got to take your approach to Yah quite seriously. It can't be by chance and a happenstance. It can't be no mismatch patchwork of a relationship. It's got to be solid on down from the beginning to the ending. You'll find out. Joining them and separating themselves from the uncleanness of the nations of the lands to worship Yah Elohim of Israel, they ate of it. They joyfully celebrated the feast of the unleavened bread for 7 days, as required. For the Elohim had given them cause for joy by inclining the heart of the Assyrian king toward them, and he can do that, so as to give them support in the work of the house of the Elohim Yah of Israel. See, if you are contrite and humble, you don't need a bow and arrow. You don't need a slingshot. You don't need a rusty pistol that you only got one bullet for. If you're right with Yah, Yah got your back. He's going to look out for you. What you need to be working on is that relationship with Yah and putting aside all that illness and all that uncomeliness that you have in your life, that ugliness that you have in your life. And see, the Most High, as he did, was inclined toward them by having them by virtue of the king of Assyria. He can help you right today too. But you can't come to Yah with all that uncomeliness, all that ugliness, all that killing one another in the communities and writing rap songs about it. All them different color hairdos and whatnot, the man pants on the buttocks. No, you can't come to Yah like that. You got to get rid of all that uncomeliness because we ugly. Ugly to the bone. And I'm not talking the outward appearance of ugliness by virtue of our action, because of our connection with uncleanness. Contrary, my dear brother and friend, what is your commentary?
There's a lot to be gleaned in this chapter.
Yes.
The kings of Persia kept an order, didn't they? Because they went back into the record books to see if the sanctioning of the rebuilding of the temple was according to their laws. And he went all the way back to King Cyrus, who made that decree, right?
Exactly.
So when they found out in the record books that they kept, right, which they found in the Citadel, the edict went out from King Darius to continue the word that King Cyrus had put down for the children of Judah. Our kings wasn't so loyal to one another in that way. Some of them were to King David and some of them were not. They went back into the archives and found out what the codifications were. We see that these kings of Persia, they followed the code. King Darius looked back to what King Cyrus said. And when he found out what King Cyrus said, the work went on. So, Yamsu.
Yes.
Who did the work?
The Hebrew Israelites did the work.
Specifically, it was the elders.
The elders and the priest.
I hereby also issue order as to what you are to do with those elders of the Yehudites in order to rebuild Yah's temple.
Right, the elders and the priests. The elders and the leaders.
Elders. Yeah, so it shows you the role that the elders play in a nation. It wasn't the superheroes that people wanted to be, you know, the Messiah and all that. The Most High always works with the elders.
Right.
And it was the elders that took the initiative, and it was the elders that completed the job.
Exactly.
So we love our young people, but sometimes they're not courageous enough. They don't have vision enough, and they don't see what Yah needs.
And they don't have the stability.
That's right.
Right.
It says the elders of Yehuda continued building and prospering, while at the same time, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, continued prophesying. They built and brought it to completion by the command of Yah of Yisrael. So the elders are going to follow the command of Yah. And Yah commanded Cyrus and King Darius, King Cyrus, King Darius, and King Taxerus, kings of Persia, were loyal to one another, and they were loyal to Yah. Even though they knew their role wasn't to serve Yah like Israel, they knew that the nation of Israel was designed to serve Yah, and they allowed them to function like they were supposed to. But the fact that they are governors of our province, they tell us what to do in Jerusalem. It's by their word that we could do what we do in Jerusalem, right? Build a wall.
Right.
Maybe not. If we don't find the records, you can't do it.
Right.
So we here in our captivity, we think we're doing Yah's law, we're following Yah's commands. No. These people came back from captivity and realized their uncleanness is, right?
Right.
And the only way they became clean was by going into the land. It says the Israelites who were returning from exile ate it along with those who had joined them and separated themselves from the uncleannesses of the nations. How you serving Yah in the midst of uncleannesses? You got to separate yourself from the uncleannesses of the nation.
Exactly.
And they went back to the land to seek Yah, the Elohim of Israel. And then, and only then, they observed the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days with joy, for Yah had given them joy and had changed the opinion of the Assyrian king. Even the king showed them favor, so that the king assisted them in the work of the temple of Elohim, the Elohim of Israel. When we party with Yah, everybody want to be a part of that, right?
Exactly.
So we think we're doing what's right and pleasing in Yah's sight in his captivity in the midst of all these uncleannesses. That's because we don't read books like Ezra to find out that we have to get back to the land to get away from the uncleannesses of the nations in order to really enjoy a Passover, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. Well, thank you, Katriel. Thank you, fellow students, for studying along with us. And Katriel is about to lead us into another segment of these studies and the songs. I think this is, now, I don't know, what chapter we're at?
84.
84?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Aviyah, but I'm not certain. So if I can, I get an update. Oh. Okay, hold on, Cadre. Got your update coming in. You're certainly right, Cadre. I'm 84. My apologies.
No need to apologize.
Just a continuation. Yeah, when you're wrong, you're wrong. You got to apologize when you're wrong.
Well, that's humility. That's part of us looking into ourselves and building better. Psalms 84. These are the core things. So we come off of Asaph and we go into the core things. We give praise for these brothers who are of the priestly order, the Levite order. And these men were closest to the Most High amongst all the nation of Israel. So I'm sure that we're feeling strong vibrations from the Most High. And these are our teachers, the Levites and the priests. And their means of communication with Yah is the way the people need to communicate with Yah. So we give thanks and praise to Yah for the four things and the psalms and the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that they brought to us and how to get it with you in order for you to hear them and to answer their prayers. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How lovely is the place where you live, O Yah of heavens of hosts. Where does Yah live, Yamsuf?
That's, repeat that.
Where does Yah live? You just read it. You
got
to rebuild the temple, Yah's house, right?
Right.
And how long that house going to be there? How long you say it's going to be established for Jerusalem?
Forever.
Forever, right. So when that house is there forever, it's going to be a lovely place to be because Yah is there, the creator of heaven and earth, Yah of hosts, Yah of armies. Can you imagine? People trying to get to heaven when Yah is going to be right here on earth. You can't picture that. We can't see that. We don't understand that. But that's what he's saying. Because we just read about Jerusalem, and that's where Yah's house is, and that's where he wants to dwell. Unfortunately, our ancient fathers didn't get it right for Yah to remain there with us permanently. But he said he's going to do it. They say, I desperately want to be in the courts of Yah's temple. My heart and my entire being shout for joy to the living Elohim. You can't imagine being in the presence of the living Elohim. People want to go to heaven to meet Yah, but Yah is telling us that his presence is destined to be right here on earth for the righteous, for those who seek him, for those who want to be a part of that. You can't even imagine. It's beautiful enough to be alive and be born into this creation. But imagine being close to the one that created you, the great eternal. And that's what he's telling us. It's better to be in his house because that's where he is. It says, my heart and my entire being shout for joy, the living Elohim. Even the birds find a home there, and the swallow builds a nest, which he can protect her young, O Yah of hosts, my king and my Elohim. How blessed are those who live in your temple and praise you continually. We're talking about the Levites. They blessed. We can't go in there. We can't go in this temple. We can't even imagine the experience of the Levites in the temple in the presence of Yah. But we don't understand that order because we've been broken away from it. So we think the churches and the temples and the synagogue substitute for what they're talking about here. And there's no substitution for having the presence of Yah in the place where it's supposed to be. And we feel in that presence. And our brothers, the Levites, felt that, and they explained it as these Korathites. How blessed are those who live in your temple and praise you continually. This is Asaph, the singer, and all that whole choir that King David set up, the Levites. They felt something that no other human could possibly feel, and that's what they're trying to express. How blessed are those who find their strength and long to travel the roads that lead to your temple. So the Levites are telling you, they get their strength from the temple. And there's only one temple. It's not the temple you create. It's the temple that Yah created in Jerusalem. And strength comes out of that temple. But the temple is broke down. We see how they try to rebuild it in the book of Ezra. and they had adversity in trying to do it. But Yah allowed them to do it. And he's going to allow us to do it again. I don't think we're going to build it because we read in Ezekiel it's already built. We may lay the foundation, but that temple is going to be established. As they pass through the Beka Valley, yes, the Beka Valley, where they're fighting wars right now, Israel and the Jordanians and the Arab nations. You've heard of the Beka Valley. It's a landmass that still exists to this day. He provides a spring for them. The rain even covers it with pools of water. They are sustained as they travel along. Each one appears before the Elohim of Zion. O Yah Elohim of heaven, the heavenly host, hear my prayer. Listen, O Elohim of Yaakov. Elohim, take notice of our shield. Show concerning for your chosen king. Show concern for your chosen king. Certainly, spending just one day in your temple's courts is better than spending 1,000 elsewhere. So you notice the Levites spoken. The joy they feel in being in the service of the temple, there's no other place they'd rather be. So he goes on to say, I would rather stand at the entrance to the temple of my Elohim than live in the tents of the wicked, which we live in right now. We're living in the tents of the wicked. We ain't nowhere near that temple. So we can't even feel the vibe that this brother's talking about. For Yah Elohim is our sovereign protector. They felt that protection. They felt that might. They felt that power when they were close to the temple. Well, we should feel that anywhere we are. Yah bestows favor and honor. He holds no good thing from those who have integrity. And that's what we mentioned earlier today, that these nations have lost morality, integrity, good judgment, just judgment. So, and we follow behind them, and we lose our way. But the Most High, it says, holds no good thing from those who have integrity. So we have to keep our morality, our integrity. We have to be righteous with one another. Just balances and just weights. We can't be scheming and plotting on each other. We have to uplift each other. That's integrity. This is, O Yah of hosts, how blessed are those who trust in you. So most of the world trust in money. They trust in their physical strength. They trust in their weapons. I don't know what else they trust in. They trust in idols. But those who trust in Yah, the creator of heaven and earth and all things that end, are truly blessed. Because it's so hard to really trust in Yah. It's the hardest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you achieve that level, you're definitely blessed. How many people are on that level? They totally trust on Yah, in Yah 100%, like our ancient fathers, King David. How many people can you say are on that level?
I would be hard to put a number to. I would be hard to put a number to.
But we need to reach that level, right?
Yeah. That's so many. Right. Yeah, everybody should be subscribing to reach that level. And you got to work at it. All right, Katria. Fellow students, it has been another lovely study sessions that we are trying to get you to understand the dynamics of this relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, and how it's relative to the dynamics of the relationship with one another and with strangers, different nations. All these things are connected together. It's, as I said, they're quite simple. But unfortunately, we try to make everything hard. And how do we make everything hard? When we don't follow the Most High, when the Most High footsteps are not our pathway, then we make everything quite difficult. And we cloud up everything. Everything become quite confusing, but it don't have to be that way. As long as you let the Most High footstep be your pathway, it don't have to be difficult at all. As Carter always allude to, it's open book test. That being said, fellow students, Cottrell and I, we don't know where you're going, but we do know this for certainty. You're getting ready to get out of here on the Real Talk for Real People show. May the Most High bless you, direct you, and order your steps. Please stop leaning to your own understanding. It's not cute. You're not getting anywhere. And it's not working for you. It's working entirely against you. In these studies, at the end of every study session, we like to suggest to you something. Get you a new spirit and a heart. And that spirit looked something like contrite, humble, steadfast. And that heart would look something like King David's, which the Most High made a comment about. The King David had a heart unlike his. He's a man after my own heart, so to speak, to be exact. And so you want a heart like King David's. That heart should look like loving the Most High with all that heart. All your mind, and that's what Cartier alluded to, you got to get to that level. All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, you got to get to that level. And in connection and relative to that, which is equally important to that, loving your brothers and sisters, which are your neighbors, as yourself. And you have to love yourself. You can't love nobody if you don't love you. So love you so you can love your brothers and sisters. Otherwise, it's virtually impossible. Well, Cartrell and I, we love you. As I said, it's good to have Cartrell back. Sometime he's going to have his moments. We were going to respect his privacy. I've been there. So if you don't hear him on sometime, let Cartier do what Cartier do. We're going to pray for him. We're going to love him. We're going to support him and encourage him. I've been there. You have your good days, you have your bad days. And it's a good day, and it's a good day to have you. And we're grateful for that. And it's good to have you too, fellow students. Okay? We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.